And we're joined today on The Scoop by John Folkey of the Timberwolves Radio Network. John, Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you too, Seth.
Well, looking at the Timberwolves, they certainly were hoping that 2017 would stick around a little bit longer as they finished the month with a flurry of wins. I think 6-1 in their last seven games in the month of 2017. And obviously, the defense has been getting a little bit better here over the past couple of weeks. But, John, what was the biggest key to that hot stretch to finish off 2017?
You know, it was interesting because it was sort of a tale of two things. Number one, it was closing games out. And, you know, you think of when that stretch started, Minnesota had to rally back from down 10 against Portland in the fourth quarter to get that win. Jimmy Butler was huge. And then two nights later at Denver, down by 14 in the second half and rallied to get the win. And then you think of solid starts, you know, suddenly, you know, against Indiana, it was a 17-0 run to start the game. Against Milwaukee, even though they dropped that game, they jumped out to a 20-point lead, you know, in the third quarter. And against Denver, the second time at Target Center, it was a fourth quarter and overtime execution, and Jimmy Butler was masterful. So at the beginning of that stretch, it was executing in the fourth quarter. At the end of the stretch, it was getting off to great starts. And, you know, you'd love to see a full 48-minute game of, you know, end-to-end, you know, solid play. And we've seen that these last two from Minnesota. They've won wire-to-wire over the Pacers and the Lakers. But, you know, as Karl Anthony Towns told me on the postgame show after that L.A. game, he said, we're not quite to 48 minutes. We're at about 41 minutes right now. So they're striving for that. They're getting closer. But, you know, just great to be able to pick up wins during this stretch. And to do it in different ways, fourth quarter execution or, you know, getting off to a good start, not allowing a team back into the game.
John, the Wolves 20-6 against the Western Conference, but kind of strangely, they are just 4-8 against the East, which you would see at the beginning of the year just how things were playing out in the Eastern Conference and think, you know, maybe that would be a chance for the Wolves to pick up some wins over there, but it, for whatever reason, just hasn't been working out that way so far this year. Anything in particular, or has it just been some bad matchups? I know a couple of games early on, the Wolves were without Jimmy Butler, but other than that, has it just been some bad matchups against the East?
I think the East is a lot better than a lot of us anticipated at the beginning of the season. And, you know, Detroit's much more improved than what I thought they would be. Indiana is much more improved than I thought they would be. And Milwaukee, you know, that was a tough one because you catch them on the second end of a back-to-back. Minnesota played that tough overtime game the night before. The Bucks had been off, kind of waiting for the Wolves. So, you know, that was, you could build that one into the schedule a little bit. And then the Washington game, you know, that one was just disappointing because Minnesota had a lead late in that ball game and couldn't hold on to it against the Wizards. And so I think I think the Eastern Conference is better than we thought it would be. And, you know, there have been some games where Minnesota built leads against Detroit and Washington. They had leads in the second half and couldn't hang on to them. So, you know, I don't know that you can pinpoint it on, you know, the conference necessarily. But I think at the beginning of the season when Minnesota saw some of these teams, and even that Charlotte loss, you know, they had a lead at Charlotte, and Dwight Howard and Kemba Walker kind of picked them apart in the second half. That was when Minnesota was really, you know, searching for chemistry, going through some things and trying to find their way defensively especially, but also offensively. And so, you know, we saw a number of the Eastern Conference teams early in the season. Now as we start to see, you know, more of them coming up here, I know we got Boston on the schedule on Friday, you got Cleveland on Monday, Toronto twice here in the month of January, I believe Chicago in January too. You know, Minnesota's a different team now than they were when they saw a lot of those teams in early to mid November. So hopefully the Wolves can take care of business against the East this time around.
John, just looking at the last few games, it seems like, and I don't want to pin the defensive struggles on any one player, but it certainly seems like Karl Anthony Towns has really started to flourish on defense. He's had just a handful of blocks over the last few games. Are we seeing, hopefully, the first step in what can be some big improvements on defense from this team?
Absolutely. And Carl's done a great job these last couple of games. So has Andrew Wiggins. And, you know, Tyus Jones as well. I want to make sure we mention him because he's done a tremendous job with deflections and steals, you know, stepping into that starting lineup and helping spark the team on the defensive end just by being a pest in the passing lanes. And, you know, all three of those guys have made big strides on the defensive end. Now, you know, the key is to do that each and every night, you know, to be consistent about it. We've seen some good stretches from these guys in the past, but it's all about, you know, can you bring it on every single play? Can you bring it every single night? And, you know, so far so good in the last couple of games for those guys. And, you know, when you add what they're doing to what Taj Gibson, what Jimmy Butler do on a night-in, night-out basis, I think you're starting to see growth and improvement from this team on the defensive end. Still a long way to go, and everybody in the locker room will tell you that. But at least you're starting to see some signs that, hey, guys are getting to that point where they're reacting. They're not thinking so much, and they're playing off instinct a little bit more because those habits have been ingrained in them. And, you know, last season, Seth, in the second half coming out of the All-Star break, Minnesota's defense got better. And that was one thing that Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins said was, you know, we're feeling the defense rather than thinking about the defense. And I think that's one of the things that we're starting to see here is these guys are getting comfortable with where their teammates are, playing off of each other, you know, the all five guys on a string. And as they play like that and they're not seeing a play happen, thinking, then reacting, they're just going. That'll put them in a better position, you know, defensively, which in turn helps the team overall.
John, the Timberwolves welcomed Nemanja Bjelica back into the rotation on Christmas Day, and they've been integrating him back into the regular lineup here over the last handful of games. What have we seen from Belly so far as he works his way back?
Well, Tibbs mentioned it before the Lakers game that there's some rust. You know, Belly missed 15 games. And there's just nothing like NBA basketball. You can ride the bike, you can run, you can go through practice, but being out there in a game, there's just no way to simulate that. And so he, you know, had some rust. It was good to see him against LA and really Indiana too get extended minutes because the game, you know, was well in hand, and hopefully start to work through some of that rust and start to find his rhythm, because before he went down, Seth, he was such a big piece of what Minnesota was doing. The three-point shooting, you know, he's leading the league in three-point field goal percentage. He stabilized the bench and gave Minnesota great minutes and at the same time gave them different looks, you know, with that stretch four and allowing the Wolves to go smaller if you wanted to put Belly at the five and Butler at the four. It just, you know, really gave teams it gave Tibbs versatility to his lineup. And so hopefully, you know, he's able to continue to work through, you know, the rust and everything and develop that rhythm and get back into a flow. But I think against L.A., it was good to see him knock down a three. You know, he's trying to impact the game rebounding and on defense, and hopefully all of that, you know, kind of leads into that shot starting to fall again and him finding that rhythm.
With the fact that the Timberwolves have been able to actually get to where they've had an 18-20-point lead here over the last couple of games, we've seen them be able to get a lot of guys in and kind of take some minutes off the plate of the starters. Cole Aldrich has played the last couple of games, and you can see just how much fun this team is having on their current pace as when a guy like Aldrich gets in, it seems like everybody on the bench is giving him some cheers while he's out there.
Yeah, and it's funny because you kind of forget about Cole. You know, he hasn't played a whole lot this year, hasn't gotten in, you know, and like we obviously don't see what he brings in the locker room or what he brings to practice every day or on the bus or those types of things. But after the Indiana game, Tip said on our postgame show that what Cole brings is invaluable to this team, and that's why when he gets out there and he makes a play, you know, the bench goes nuts for him because those guys love and respect what he brings. He said that Cole's one of those guys who doesn't take energy. He gives energy each and every day. And those guys are huge. You know, when you talk about an 82-game grind and, you know, trying to have some levity and, you know, needing guys to go hard in practice. And apparently Cole brings all those things. And so it's great, you know, to see him get celebrated out there on the floor. And and to be able to shine the spotlight on him, because we haven't really talked to him a whole lot. You know, we haven't really had a reason to talk about his play or anything since he hasn't gotten on the floor. But behind the scenes, he's certainly bringing a lot to this team, and you can see how much the guys appreciate that by the way they cheer when he's out there.
John, let's take a look at tonight's matchup, the Wolves in Brooklyn taking on the Nets, and the Nets 14-23. They are just 8-10 at home, and the Wolves have played well on the road, 11-8 away from the Target Center. What are some keys for the Wolves to make it 25-14 with a win tonight?
Well, you'd love to see them get off to another incredible start. I mean, the last two games, 17-0 and 16-0, and then play from ahead. So you'd love to see that. Now, I don't know that we can count on a franchise record-setting run to start the game for the third straight game, but you know, Brooklyn's a team that plays really hard, and despite the fact that, you know, the record is what it is, they've been in some games. They're coming off a win over Orlando. They're a team that's starting to improve. You know, their GM, Sean Marks, and their head coach, Kenny Atkinson, those guys have really had to dig themselves out of a hole in terms of not having draft picks and trying to build a roster with second-round picks and with savvy trades, and they've been able to do that. Taking a flyer on guys that were high first-round picks that didn't work out in their current situation and trying to kind of resuscitate their careers. A guy like D'Angelo Russell, they just traded for Jahlil Okafor. And so they've been adding these guys in, and there's a lot of talent on that team. Now, you know, can it all come together and be a playoff team? Probably not this year, but, you know, they've got to give up their first-round pick this season, and then maybe they can start to add in some guys through the draft after that. But they're what you would call, you know, a kind of a dangerous team because they played well of late. They're at home. They're coming off a win over the Magic, feeling pretty good about themselves. And the Wolves are in the midst of a stretch of 7 out of 9 on the road and feeling pretty good about themselves with the way that they've played. So, for Minnesota, you've got to come out and make sure that you don't feel too good about yourself against a team that's, 9 games under .500. And just take care of business. I think that's really what it comes down to for this team. And Karl Anthony Towns said this after the Lakers game, and I thought it was a great point, but he said, we need to stay in love with the process. You know, the fact that the Wolves are winning right now and their record is 10 games above .500 and, you know, they're fourth in the Western Conference, all those things are great and should be celebrated for the way that, you know, this team has struggled since 2003, 2004. But at the same time, you've got to stay locked into what got you there. And what got Minnesota there is improving on the defensive end, ball movement, you know, versatility on the offensive end, a balanced attack, and staying focused. And I think if they can come out like that against Brooklyn, they should put themselves in a good position. And, you know, certainly you don't want to look too far ahead because you've got Boston on Friday and then kicking off a 5-game homestand with New Orleans and Cleveland. And so some big games coming up. But you don't want to look ahead to those games and not keep your eye on a Brooklyn Nets team, you know, that's struggled this season here tonight.
Well, we'll see if the Timberwolves can start off 2018 the way they finished 2017. Should be a good one tonight against the Nets. John, thanks so much for joining us here today. We'll see how the Wolves can do here tonight and over the course of the next week, and we'll catch up with you again later on down the road.
Sounds good. Take care, Seth.